This is the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on www.prn.fm. This radio presentation replays my weekly TV show, Refounding America with Peter R. Breggin, MD, which can be watched on Brighteon.tv, and it's available on Roku. I interview guests who are heroes and pioneers in confronting the global predators who are behind COVID-19 lockdowns and vaccines, corrupt public health and medicine, global warming, the Great Reset, and other justifications for destroying the Western democracies. They are stealing our countries, our freedoms, our dignity and hope, and our jobs and our savings. For documentation of this worldwide tragedy, read our new book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, by Peter and Ginger Breggin. Together, my guests and I explore what is happening and what we each can do to refound America and inspire the world. Thank you for your courage in facing these challenges and standing up for liberty. Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Welcome, my wonderful, wonderful audience. Glad to be here again this week. And this is Peter Breggin, and you're watching Brighteon TV. And you can find this in the archives on Brighteon TV, our show, which is Refounding America and Reclaiming Ourselves, our own freedom, our own sense of responsibility, our own power. And those of you listening on the radio, it's PRN.live, carrying us as a radio show. Today, I have a very interesting guest with an amazing background. I'll let him tell you a little more about it, but Princeton and Harvard, and now he is in Israel. And we're going to talk about the differences in America and Israel. It's going to be a really interesting show. And he has some of the most breaking news I've ever talked about. Welcome, Josh Getzko. He's a senior lecturer in sociology and criminology at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. His academic research goes back to, he's got a PhD in sociology from Princeton. He did a postdoc at Harvard. He's been involved in learning and teaching health policy. This is a heavy-duty guy. Interests, like many of us, weren't exactly COVID-19 when that happened. He was into criminal justice policy, politics, culture, inequality. And, along comes COVID-19, and he decides to do what's right. And he's in Israel, and I think it might be interesting for him to, first of all, anything to add to your background as a start, Josh?
No, I think you hit the key points.
All right.
I'm originally from the U.S. I grew up in California.
When did you're an Israeli citizen now, may I ask?
Yeah, I'm a dual citizen. Yeah, My wife is Israeli.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having that dual citizenship. I think that's a wonderful thing. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I understand, before we get to the this incredible news that we want to really dig into, it's just out the ceiling, that it's even worse and more oppressive in Israel than in the U.S. Some people have been calling Israel a land that I love. I've been to it a couple of times, but more than that, my heart's been there, as many Jews often feel. It's a part of our history and nature. That Israel's been run by gangsters collaborating with the global predators and the drug companies, and that it really is out of control there, even worse than the U.S., where it's bad, maybe worse than Canada, where it's atrocious. Give us a rundown, would you, and discuss what's going on in Israel, and maybe compare it to the U.S., if you like.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're as bad as Canada.
Oh,
I've heard some crazy, crazy stories about things that have happened and are still happening in Canada.
Yeah.
But I think one of the key, so you, Israel is obviously much smaller than the U.S., right? It's about the size of New Jersey, and it has a single kind of unitary government and a highly regulated, well-organized healthcare system. Is very top down. You don't have kind of this widespread different states and all these different health providers and health companies. I mean, you have a few different HMOs, but they're sort of public-private entities, highly regulated. And I think one of the things that really characterizes the Israeli experience is really being the laboratory for the world, and in particular Pfizer, okay, which is, I mean, you just think about the historical irony of Israel becoming the laboratory for an experimental gene therapy developed by a German company, and with Israeli politicians, media, everybody, essentially criminalizing or trying to criminalize, at least in the public's mind, anybody who doesn't go along, you know, and fall into line with this. So, you know, Israel was sort of first out of the gate. They got, you know, tons of vaccines very early on. They had this huge vaccination campaign already beginning in mid-December. And you remember that one of the reasons that Pfizer agreed to that, besides the money that was paid, was that because Israel has this highly regulated, centralized sort of health system, they were able to share. Israel basically agreed to a data sharing scheme with Pfizer, where they were essentially going to allow Pfizer to, access to electronic health records. In fact, the agreement between the Israeli government and Pfizer, the details of it are unknown, right? There is a contract, people have seen the contract, but it's heavily, heavily redacted. And this has been actually quite controversial in the country. I think it was sometime in January, there were people on the Helsinki, the National Ethics Board, who resigned in protest to what was going on in the country. So we're first out of the gate with the vaccines, with a mass vaccination campaign, first out of the gate with a green pass system, which I don't remember if it was actually implemented in February or early March of 2021. But, you know, basically the law regulated, you know, sort of entry into stores and entry into other places where you either needed to have, you know, be fully vaccinated, or you needed to have a recent PCR test. So that was sort of the saving grace of the Green Pass system in Israel, is that you didn't actually need to be vaccinated. You could just, you know, let them poke your nose with some sticks, and, you know, if it came out negative, you were okay. But you had to do that a lot. And then the employers in Israel, businesses in Israel, they just kind of picked up on this, even though this wasn't in the law, and they started implementing a green pass system for all their employees. So this, of course, caused enormous amounts of dislocation and pain for people who were no longer able to work. because their employers were saying, no, you're not vaccinated, or you have to, you know, get these tests all the time. But this, you know, and then the green pass kind of went away in the late spring, and things opened up almost completely in the summer. And then starting in August, starting in July, there was like another wave, and then things tightened down. They implemented the boosters. So we were first out of the gate with the Pfizer vaccines, first out of the gate with the boosters. And then we were the first country where, in order to have a valid green pass, you had to, if you had been vaccinated more than 6 months ago, which most people were by that time, you had to have a booster in order to have a valid green pass. And if you had, if you were recovered from COVID more than 6 months ago, you had to have at least one dose in order to be considered, you know, eligible for this green pass. And the absurdity of it was that, you know, in September, when the US FDA was considering whether to approve the booster dose for the US population, who shows up at the FDA meeting but the Israeli Ministry of Health, experts or representatives, showing them all the data that they had gathered. And even one of the members on that expert committee at the FDA said something along the lines of, well, you guys have been an excellent laboratory for the rest of the world, right? Because they're forcing, essentially, we're not forcing, they are punishing people for not getting a booster dose, right? And then turning over all the data that they have, which is full of all kinds of lies and manipulations anyway, but turning that over to the US FDA saying, here, look, we've got all of this data. And then the FDA turns around and says, well, you don't have enough data for younger people. So we're only going to approve the booster. I don't know if you remember this. They first approved the booster for like 60 and up, right? And then essentially Israel went away and came back a month later with data on the young people, because they were putting hardcore pressure on the younger population, and in particular soldiers, right? Because in Israel, you're sort of required to go to the army. So they have this captive population that they were putting horrible, horrible pressure. There's no law in Israel that said the soldiers had to get vaccinated, but they were just being treated horribly unless they, they went along with it. And then Israel comes back to the U.S. and says, here's the data from all of our lab rats, right? So in my in my mind, that is sort of the, and now Israel's the first out of the gate with booster doses for 5 to 11-year-olds. They just started that like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. They've only had about maybe 300 kids show up for that. So we're also seeing that as kind of the corollary. We're being used as the world's lab rats. But at the same time, people are starting to opt out. People are starting to wise up.
It's
more every dose that comes out, there's just less and less people going back for it. And I think that's partly because the adverse events are so severe. People are either experiencing it themselves. You know, you talk to people and they're like, they got the booster dose and they're like, I'm not doing any more of that. Or they know people who got it, right? Now, I'll tell you here's some breaking news that you haven't heard, because it just came out today, okay? There's a very intrepid Israeli reporter named Yaffa Shiraz, and she runs a website. It's in Hebrew, but you can use Google Translate. It's called rtmag.co.il, real-time news magazine. And essentially, back when they started with the vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds, the Ministry of Health sponsored a study or commissioned a study of adverse events after, for this age group. Okay. And recently, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was a meeting at the Ministry of Health where the researchers presented their findings. And all we have are some screenshots from what they presented and a recording of their presentation. We don't have the full presentation. We don't know the exact methodology, but basically they were finding much 2 to 4 times higher rates of adverse events among 5 to 11-year-olds compared to 12 to 17-year-olds, right? Even though the dose is 1/3 of what the 12 to 17-year-olds were getting, 12 to 15-year-olds were getting. And they're talking about serious, long-lasting, adverse events, neurological, musculoskeletal. They're talking about menstrual adverse events. 5 to 11-year-old children are having ongoing bleeding issues. I don't even know that they've reached the age of menstruation, but they're having these problems. Okay. And the people presenting this were like, we need to tell Pfizer about this. I mean, they were surprised that the rates were so much higher than in the teenage population. And what happened? The results of that study have not been released to the public. This was a private meeting. They basically kept these results of this study secret. And in the meantime, they pushed or went ahead with the vaccine, the booster campaign for that same age group, right? I mean, it's just unbelievable. It really is criminal, you know? It's just,
Well, that's a very good introduction to what's going on in Israel. Just a little side note, you mentioned that the irony of Jews, submitting themselves to unwarranted, coerced research, basically. And it's the Nuremberg Code, which is being most applied in the U.S. about this. And the Nuremberg Code comes from the torture and maiming and killing largely of Jews in the name of experimentation on the grounds that they had consented in the extermination camps. And the Nuremberg judges wrote a code saying that when you consent in an institution where you have no choices and it's life or death, you're not consenting. And that principle, the Nuremberg Code, which was made on the bodies mostly of Jews, the deaths of mostly Jews and torture of us, that they're not thinking just broadly of applying that themselves in Israel, whereas we talk about a lot and applying it here in the U.S. The other thing you mentioned, that the company that that they're associated with is German, their partners, and the Germans' partners are a communist Chinese vaccine company. So the flow goes of all information now about Israel is going to go to all its enemies. Its most virulent enemies.
Yeah. Well, Israel and China have very close relations now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's a part of what's going on here.
Yeah. Israel just turned over control, or they, created they contracted out the operations of their biggest port to a Chinese company.
They didn't do that.
They were going to do, but then
I'm not saying they didn't. I just can't believe it.
Now that
it's the first time I've heard it. That's the whole bell
was axed at the very end, at the last minute. Maybe I'm. Anyway, it was either about to go through or it actually did go through.
Send me stuff on that. I mean, that's just a horror. We stopped them from doing the same thing in L.A. years ago. Maybe they've already done it secretly and we don't know. The L.A. port.
I don't know.
That's what, folks, what's happening is that China is it's going throughout the world on its what used to be the old Silk Road. And they're creating a series of nations, one against another, as a roadway unbroken around the world, where they are loaning tons of money to countries that don't have it, in return for which they end up running or owning gigantic facilities in the countries like harbors. And this is a part of their gaining dominance over the United States, so much so that even Biden this week announced that he was going to look at this systematic encircling of the globe by Chinese industry backed by their military. So this, to include Israel in it is just terrifying and dismaying. It is big news. It's very big news.
Do you want to see what you were saying about the, if I may, about the Nuremberg Code? Because I'm, you know, the whole idea of ethics in research came out of the Holocaust and the Nuremberg Code, and I'm the head of the ethics committee at the Institute of Criminology, and I also serve on the ethics committee at the university level, the Research Ethics Committee, the IRB.
Oh, wow.
And when they started implementing the Green Pass system, which strongly affected our students, right, because they weren't allowed to come to campus unless they had a Green Pass, and it was, you know, very difficult to go three times a week to get tested and stuff like that. If they didn't want to get vaccinated. And anyway, you can't put any pressure on anybody participating in an experiment. And at the time, you know, Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, the Prime Minister of Israel, all the media were saying, we're a laboratory, we're a laboratory. Well, if we're a laboratory, right, that means it's an experiment, right? And the vaccines haven't actually been approved. It's just, you know, emergency use authorization. So they're still investigational, right? They're still experimental. So how can you put this type of pressure on our students or anybody, right? I wrote an email to the people on the ethics committee at the university laying this out, asking if anybody wanted to write a letter with me to the rector. I didn't get a single reply. I brought this up to a big class of mine, the history of research ethics and how this pressure was unethical. And I talked with them a little bit about some of the adverse event data and stuff like that. When I finished that class, I opened up the email on my phone and I had an email from the rector of the university written to my department chair and the dean saying, I have received a complaint that Josh is inciting against the vaccine campaign and comparing it to the Holocaust. And I want you to investigate this.
So how have you fared since then, Josh?
I've been okay. I came out clean. Thankfully, the class was recorded. And I just said, here's the recording. You can see I didn't say any of that. I was upset, and I, you know, you could see that I was upset, and I was very critical of the university policy, but, you know, I didn't compare it with the vaccines to the Holocaust. So I was cleared, and I don't know what would happen if I wasn't cleared. I mean, I have tenure, so, I'm not exactly sure what the threat there was, but it didn't feel good and definitely put me on notice that, like, you know, better be careful what I say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in America, people with tenure have lost their jobs over standing up in the medical community, lost their medical positions.
Yes.
The threats are just enormous. And many people in America do compare the vaccines to the Holocaust, incidentally.
Well, people here do as well. And there are Holocaust survivors who compare what's going on now to what happened during the Holocaust, not just with the vaccines, but with the hatred and incitement against unvaccinated. I have a post about that on my blog, my Substack, talking about, it's not a new phenomenon. I mean, the hatred against the hatred against the unvaccinated is nothing new. It was going on before, sort of being, you know, what would be the word? The fans were being flamed before COVID hit. The ground was being set, and then it just took off, right?
One last question before we break in a little more than a minute. Do you have, off the top of your head, the statistics on the deaths? We've had about 30,000 more reported to the U.S. CDC from the vaccines, usually in close association within a day or two, and most of them reported by healthcare providers. Do you have any similar data in Israel?
Okay, so when we come back from the break, we're gonna talk about that bombshell that you mentioned.
That's what I was thinking. Okay? Yeah, we go to the bombshell.
I will say that essentially the Israeli Ministry of Health has not acknowledged a single death as being due to the vaccine. It's a little bit more complicated than that. I mean, there were a couple of papers about myocarditis, and in each of those papers, they mentioned somebody that died from myocarditis. So there might be like two acknowledged deaths from that. There is a private group of citizens that has been trying to get people to, you know, give them reports. And they've got, I think, a few hundred already in theirs, but I'm sure it's much, much more than that. When we come back, I have some more I can tell you about the data collection systems in Israel. And
well, thank you, Josh, very, very much. Dr. Getzko, thank you very, very much. We'll be back to talk about the release that Drew, that he made it. Well, welcome back, my wonderful audience, people I know, people I don't know. Thank you for being here. We're with Josh Getzko, who is just a really well-informed, courageous Israeli. And we're going to just pick up on the stuff that's on his mind. We've spent the first segment talking about what's going on in Israel, and we're getting really close to this stunning revelation about the U.S. Go ahead.
Okay, so what is the revelation? The revelation is, we talk a lot about VAERS, right? The Bad Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, which is a common pharmacovigilance system. They have them for prescription drugs, and they have them for vaccines in almost every country, or advanced country anyway, Western country. And the idea is that people are supposed to report adverse events that happen after they take a medication or get a vaccine, or their doctors or nurses are supposed to report it. And then, you know, you're supposed to monitor these systems for what they call safety signals. Okay, it's an early warning system. So people can write, you know, put in their reports. And if we see something that, you know, is out of whack, that is unique, okay? If you see a certain type of adverse event that's being reported more frequently for this particular medicine or vaccine than for others, okay, for the comparator ones or, you know, older vaccines that we know a lot more about, you see a certain adverse event being reported more frequently, you say, oh, there's a safety signal and we better investigate it. Okay, so it's not perfect. It has a lot of flaws and a lot of problems, but it is being used routinely by the CDC and the FDA who created the system, right? Yes. And for this purpose, detecting safety signals. So I was in touch. I wrote an article for the Children's Health Defense Defender magazine, analyzing the safety signals.
That's Bobby Kennedy.
System. Yes.
RFK Jr.
Yeah. And, you know, my analysis of the data using, you know, published CDC methodology was that the safety signals were blaring. They were so loud and so clear. And there was no way that you could, you know, every way I tried to slice and dice the data, it came up the same way. Okay, you couldn't possibly miss it, right? It would be like taking a hike in Arizona and, you know, missing the Grand Canyon and falling, you know, into it or something like that, right? It just, you couldn't miss it. And so I just couldn't figure out why, you know, are they just seeing it and ignoring it, or what's going on? Are they doing something different? So I said to CHD, I said, hey, why don't you guys submit a FOIA request asking, because in January 2021, the CDC put up on its website a document explaining how they were going to go about monitoring VAERS for these safety signals, okay? And I said, well, look, let's get those. They said every week we're going to issue these reports. We're going to create these tables and do these calculations. And I said, okay, let's ask them for those reports. So we just got a couple of weeks ago, they gave us the reports, they responded to the request, but they said, we didn't do the analysis to analyze bears for safety signals, right? They created these reports with sort of these raw numbers, but you have to go another step beyond that. I don't want to get into the details of it, but you have to go another step. There's some calculations you have to do. They're very easy and they're totally automated. I mean, CDC automated them years ago, okay? So they could have done it at the press of a button, but they didn't. And they admit this. They say, we didn't do this analysis. And moreover, data mining is not our job. Even though in the document that they released in January 2021, it says very clearly they're going to data mine. They are going to data mine it. So what did the CDC say? They said that it's the FDA's job to do the data mining. You should talk with them. Now, it's true, in the document that's up on their website, it says this: the FDA is also going to do some data mining, a different type of data mining. So now the next step is to FOIA the FDA and see what they were doing, you know. And so basically the CDC admitted to not analyzing VAERS the way that they said they were going to, right? And the important thing about VAERS is that it's the early warning system. I mean, it's not the only way that the CDC has said they're going to check the safety of the vaccine.
They're putting up, they just flashed up your article about it, and that's what the three monkeys were. Yeah. They're the three monkeys there.
Yep, right. See no evil, hear no evil, right?
You know, you made the analogy of I have to say this. You made the analogy of going, you know, for a walk in Arizona and stumbling around the Grand Canyon and not seeing it. This is like falling into the Grand Canyon and watching thousands of people falling into the Grand Canyon, tens of thousands of people dying and heaped at the bottom of the Grand Canyon and not investigating. That's what this is.
Yeah, it's really, I think you said earlier when we were talking before the show, it's criminal, right? I mean,
it's an international criminal conspiracy, which was decided on. The clearest people we can get for deciding on it were Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, and Tedros at the World Health Organization, working with many billionaires and big corporations like Pfizer, creating an organization, Moderna, in order to vaccinate everybody in the world to make an outrageous fortune from it and to establish control over the world's governments to show that global governance, which is what is clamping down on Israel, the United States, Canada, Australia. It's a global governance of large corporations working often around even the heads of nations to work with the agencies in nations and taking control of them. And here in the U.S., Ginger and I, my wife Ginger is my partner and everything, she and I have done investigations, been a part of with other people of the World Health Organization and the U.S. trying to make the World Health Organization the dictator of global medicine, global health, they call it, bigger than medicine, of global health. So that's what's going on here. This is the globalization of health under the control of enormous predators, very sadly, folks, working very closely with the Chinese communists who will eat them alive. Once people like Fauci and Gates and their cohorts, do us in, crush of the American spirit as a patriotic, independent, sovereign nation, which they want to do, so they can have the controls, the communists can eat them alive. They'll be the empire of the world. And it was very interesting for me to hear that the communists are making such inroads. Forget about calling them China. It's not. It's the Chinese Communist Party, which seeks a great empire around the world. It sounds like it's enticing or has already enticed China into their net. I mean, Israel into their net. So this is what we're looking at. Read our book, folks, if you haven't already. Because we talk about it in painful depth, but it's readable. It's 650 pages. Deals with this whole global mess that's being imposed on people. It's COVID-19, the global predators. If you're in Israel, You can get it on Amazon. If you're in the U.S., you can get it on Amazon. You can also get it at a discount on WeAreThePrey.com. WeAreThePrey.com. I don't think I've been advertising it enough on the show. I really need to, because it's the sum total of Ginger and our wisdom, which we're now increasing. We will have more to say, but about this globalist coalition, which got Israel by the throat. My God, it's just an awful situation, Josh. It's so awful. And they don't mind killing people. The conclusion, Josh, we had to come to, Ginger and I, which we finally had to come to near the end of the book, way after the three people who were actually wrote wonderful introductions and were actually working on the book with us, being kind enough to help us out. Peter McCullough, one of the people who wrote an introduction, Lee Valit, and very loved in Israel, Zev Zelenko, wrote an introduction to the book. And they all came to the conclusion that this was a murderous cult, basically, and that population control is a part of the use of the vaccines. They're giving it to infants and children now in the U.S. They've agreed to that. That's going to make them many of them infertile. It's going to kill some of them, whereas the COVID would never kill any of them. So we've got a murderous depopulation and control mentality going that isn't limited to people like Hitler and Stalin and Mao and Xi Jinping and China. It's a part of groups that want to run empires and control large numbers of people. That's what we're looking at.
All of those regimes have been historically supported by, you know, the big bankers. You know, history of the Nazi Party, of the Bolsheviks, of the Chinese Communists. You know, the predecessor of the CIA. I forget what it was called, and it was a military.
The U.S. Military. Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah, what you mean. You know, they. This is not conspiracy.
This is theory. Such an important point.
It's out in the open that they were kind of behind the rise of Mao, right?
Big bankers finance from the U.S. Right. and worldwide, folks.
You know, and
finance that Russian communists, the Chinese communists. Right. Yes,
and
Hitler.
Kind of, you see this control when you hear things like, let's see this. You know, one of like the CEO of Pfizer is on the board of the CEO of Reuters News is on the board of Pfizer. There's a Russian Jewish billionaire who lives in Israel, who owns two of the major TV networks or TV stations that are pumping out pro-vaccine propaganda, and, you know, 24/7. And he, through a subsidiary company of his, he's a major investor in BioNTech. So he has an enormous, you know, amount of money to be made by promoting this vaccine in Israel. And, you know, the media just, they say the anti-vaxxers are like terrorists walking around with, you know, machine guns, killing people. Actually, that's what the prime minister said. But the media are in lockstep with that and spreading similar types of messages here.
Josh, I would love it and deeply appreciate it if you would send me some stuff on the Israeli billionaire and the connections, or whatever you have that you can do conveniently, or we can talk on the phone.
I'd be happy to do that, Peter.
We can correspond, email. It will flesh out some of what I'm doing now. You're doing great work. You're doing amazing work.
Thank you.
I'm taking a breath. Folks, don't get dismayed. There is one way we can win, and that is, it's a very simple, straightforward way. It takes a lot of courage and bravery. We have to refound America, like the title of this radio show and TV show. Mainly a TV show it starts with, and we have to reclaim ourselves. We got to refound America, because the one thing that they all say, whether it's Xi Jinping or Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates, they all say that the big threat to globalism is an America First movement revival. And you may hate Donald Trump, but they hate him more. You want to know why you hate Donald Trump? It's because they hate him and they made you hate him. by controlling the media, by controlling the Democratic Party, by controlling the Republican Party, just like you're hearing in Israel, this control that was exerted in America, two impeachments, neither one with foundation, even after he's out of office. I mean, these bizarre things all fit with everything else we're seeing, which is that they have to destroy patriotic, freedom-loving America. And it looks like Israel is half gone, and America certainly is teetering desperately.
I would say Israel is more than half gone in some respects, because, you know, unlike the U.S., where there is some partisan divide on these issues, there is no partisan divide on the issues in Israel. The left and the right are lockstep in this. There may be one member of the Knesset, of the Israeli parliament, who has spoken out about the possible dangers of the vaccines and other things like that. And maybe one other politician who isn't even in the Knesset now. Otherwise, you know, that's it. That's all you see on all of the media channels and outlets, radio, print, TV. And it's really, you know, the people who are against it, openly at least, are completely marginalized, even though there are many eminent scientists and professors who come together and organized, created an organization to kind of bring a different, promote a different view. But on the ground, I think things are very, you know, the reality kind of, I mean, past the propaganda, is that people are just completely lost faith. And the majority of people in Israel, I think, have completely lost faith in the Ministry of Health, and really lost faith in the vaccines. And I think we're seeing that more and more in the U.S. as well. So that's another kind of ray of hope, is like they were hoping that everybody was going to get vaccinated and that they were going to be able to keep vaccinating people over and over again. And I don't see how they're going to do it, honestly. I mean, maybe there will be, in the U.S., there will be states probably where there will be mandates for school children and things like that. But I don't see it as a sustainable thing for them. You know, whether or not they'll be, you know, tried and brought to justice is a whole nother question. I'm not very optimistic on that front. But Israel is very kind of, there's a lot of top-down control. You know, speaking of like a one-world health system, Israel is a model of that, because the health system is so tightly controlled and regulated, and you know, the doctors, you can't really work out. It's really very difficult to work outside the system in any way. And if you do, you know, if you step out of line too much, they'll just take your license away. And they've threatened, a number of doctors, they've threatened now with taking their licenses away. But we're not as bad as Canada, where they're actually, you know, the story of Mel Brochet, the family doctor who was institutionalized against his will and forced to take antipsychotic medications, even though it threatened to give him a brain bleed and a stroke.
You know, I've just heard vaguely about it. That's another thing I could use a good link to.
Oh, I could talk. Yeah, I can put you in touch with somebody who can tell you all about it if you want.
Maybe have somebody on the show even to talk about it. What's his condition now?
He's on the run. He's on the lam. He was given an afternoon pass to visit his daughter. So his daughter took him out of the hospital or he's being held, and brought him home. And the people that had been working with him, you know, in this movement, heard that he was out. One of them went to the house. The daughter wasn't on board with all of this. So she went to the house pretending to be like a Jehovah's Witness or something like that. Made eye contact with Mel. He saw her. She saw him. The daughter went in the other room, and they took off together. He escaped with her, and then they, you know... And he's at some he's hanging out in some undisclosed location. It's just insane. I mean, it's just insanity. You know, he's a perfectly lucid, sane, 80-year-old family doctor with a, you know, wonderful reputation. And the moment he started speaking out about vaccines, you mentioned one of the things that really got their attention was when he was talking about stillbirths that were being reported high, kind of like, you know, a bunch of stillbirths in one day at a hospital in British Columbia, which you never see. Yeah, that he had heard about from some midwives there. And this is actually, I think this is the next thing that people are going to start hearing about it. I've been hearing about it now in the last week or so, but more and more we're getting 2022 birth, fertility data for the first quarter.
It's going to be terrible.
And it's looking really bad. And as the year progresses, as that you see over the months, you know, from January to April or May, things are just getting worse and worse. You can see a decline from previous years in almost every U.S. state by April compared to the previous year. Germany is really bad. There are a lot of Europe. It's not 100% every European country, but it's looking bad. And I just spoke with a German caller. Was corresponding with a German colleague who had gotten some stillbirth data from Germany showing, I think it was by April or May 2022, like a 25% increase in stillbirths compared to the average for 2019 and 2020. Okay, so it's looking bad. I don't want to be alarmist, but and I hope it's just a blip and it'll return to normal, or that there's some other explanation, but it's looking bad.
Well, there's no question that one of the most consistent values of all the globalists is depopulation. There's just no question about it. And, Bill Gates has a whole section on his website. He's open about it, where it's called population control. But, you know, Bill doesn't sit around and wait for things to control themselves. And Xi Jinping, who is really the source of an enormous amount of leadership and money for this whole group of globalists, has really made many of them much, much wealthier by doing, you know, uncontrolled business, corrupt, taking advantage of people in China that you can't do in the U.S. or other nations. And Xi Jinping, the Chinese in general, they had a one policy child. That's real severe population control. Then they went to a two child. And then recently, when they've discovered they don't have enough young workers to support the older people or to even support the economy, they've gone to a three child. So it shows you how deeply serious these people take population control. And this is the group we're in the grips of. This is not a series of mistakes. It's not a series of overzealous doctors or politicians. It's not about the minor flaws. It's about a globalist plot with common values of being the elite who exploits and controls and, if necessary, kills the rest of the human population. That's it, bluntly. If I had imagined saying something like this 3 years ago, before I personally began to research it, I would have thought it was the most crazy thing imaginable. We have come to the end of the show on that wonderful note. Josh, I mean, thank you so much for being on the show.